Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now on the Schneider Orange Hotline of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JS Online, he's Matt Velasquez. Matt, good to catch up with you again, man. How you been?
Oh, good, good. Glad to be on.
Are you enjoying the off season? Is there an off season for you now that Summer League has become this mammoth thing to cover out in Vegas every year?
You know, there's still some off season to enjoy, and I'm definitely enjoying what I have.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Now, I want to jump into this. I'll get into the meat and potatoes of the offseason shortly. But Sunday, of course, the Bucks and Nike, for that matter, hold a rally for Giannis in the Deer District, celebrating his MVP award. And look, the season did not end the way that anybody wanted it to. But the fact that this team, this Bucks organization, and this player in particular, is still a relevant talking point in the middle of July. As somebody who's followed this organization from the time I was of a very young age, that's crazy to me. And I know you remember this team winning 15 games just a few seasons ago. What's it been like for you, Matt, to see the interest in this Bucks organization go from virtually non-existent to what we're now witnessing today?
Oh, it's been incredible. I mean, you look at, like you mentioned, that 15-win season, that was my first year covering the Bucks in any capacity, and just seeing the Bradley Center mostly empty a lot of nights, a lot of opposing teams' fans. You couldn't find Bucks gear around the city. There was really no signature player at that point. You know, and any signature players they did have were like they weren't that great, like relative to the NBA. There were no stars, and so to have them, have these homegrown talents in Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, and to be able to build around those guys and build something up to where they are now, have the new arena, to have the Deer District at all, to have not just the hardcore fans, but to have a ton of casual fans, people who think it's cool to like follow the Bucks and be a Bucks fan in July. Even July used to just be Brewers, and then Packers, and now the Bucks are encroaching on that, and deservedly so, and it's fun to see.
Yeah, it's wild for me as somebody who grew up on the western side of the state in La Crosse and then works for a station in Appleton to see some of these ancillary markets that for the longest time, I'm not sure people believed that the Bucks could become a major talking point there, and they've done it. And certainly a lot of credit goes to Giannis with that. Now, as the off season has gone, Matt, we knew this was going to be an interesting one at this time last year, even. And it certainly has been that, and I know you've answered a lot of these questions as the offseason has rolled along. But to recap, you keep Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, and George Hill. You move on from Malcolm Brogdon, although you didn't let him walk for nothing. You get some picks in return, including a first-rounder. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts, though. I mean, ultimately, what led to the Bucks deciding to move on from Brogdon and not simply matching whatever offer came his way?
I think the thing with that is that you have to decide if you're willing to pay the tax or not. And if you're going to pay the tax, is it worth the player who's going to push you into that tax? Because they could have done everything they've done already and kept Malcolm Brogdon, and they would definitely be a tax-paying team. And then next year you have Giannis coming up. I mean, you're going to be a tax-paying team, into the future. Like, as you keep paying the tax year after year, the repeater penalties really get you. And that's really a problem that basically every team tries to avoid. So what year do you want to go into the tax? Because chances are that could be next year, based on how all these contracts are. They're all going to go up. They're all going to go up more than the salary cap goes up. And Giannis is going to potentially get an extension. So next year is a likely tax-paying year. So do you want to pay the tax this year, and then suddenly you're in the repeater penalty next year just for Malcolm Brogdon? And yes, Malcolm Brogdon is really good, but they've kind of made their choices throughout the year. They re-signed Eric Bledsoe at a fairly friendly salary relative to other point guards in the league. They didn't have any other choice when it came to Chris Middleton. His cap hold was so big, he had to either sign him or lose him. and they decided to sign him. And then they wanted Brook Lopez back because having a center who does what he does really unlocks the offense. So, you know, Brogdon was kind of more disposable or than the other ones, mostly because of his situation. And the fact that they were able to get something in return, I think, was positive because they could have tried to, you know, scare other teams off, say, hey, we're going to pay him. You know, we'll force you to have to make an offer that we can match. But instead they said, hey, you know, we know we're not going to pay him, but, you know, we could. So if you want to get him now, Indiana, instead of someone else getting him, you got to work with us. So they're able to work out that sign and trade, get a first-round pick in return, and now they're kind of back in the game when it comes to the draft.
Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel joining us on the Bill Michaels Show. Marcus Paff sitting in for Bill today. Yeah, I understood the financial implications. I was curious to hear your thoughts on whether it was strictly a financial thing. And that seemingly being the case, why do you think they elected to, and I think you're correct in pointing this out, Bledsoe's contract is relatively team friendly, but why do you think they elected to re-up Bledsoe mid-season? And essentially what it appears they did is choose Bledsoe over Brogdon at the guard position.
Yeah, I mean, he was somebody who, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out that question relative to you know, to the decision between Bledsoe and Brogdon, because at the time you don't know if it's going to be a decision necessarily between Bledsoe and Brogdon. Maybe it could have been. But then now, you know, now it essentially is. And so it'll be interesting to hear, you know, further commentary on that. You know, but I think when you look at Eric Bledsoe, the importance he had in their defensive scheme, and he was a first-team all defense player this year. And so, you know, having him at the front of their defensive scheme, the way he was able to impact the game. And during the regular season, he had a really good season. He was generally healthy. He played a lot. He showed up big in fourth quarters often. You know, he wasn't putting up the shooting numbers that Malcolm Brogdon was, but his two-way impact was really high, to the point where I know a lot of Bucks fans were even upset that he was not an All-Star and Chris Middleton was. You could very easily find people who would say, oh, Eric Bledsoe should have been an All-Star instead of Chris Middleton. I think they both could have been together. But, you know, when you have a player who's playing that well, extending him when he would be unrestricted, you know, whereas you wouldn't have the ability to bring him back like you would with Malcolm Brogdon, then you say, hey, if we can get him on a long-term contract that is going to be, you know, fairly average among point guards, and he's been providing what he's provided, I think, you know, the deal in that situation makes sense. You know, but I think at the time you also have to recognize, hey, this is going to be tight, and maybe we're going to have to lose somebody this summer, and we'll have to see how it goes.
Matt, looking ahead on that note, we know that the roster is going to be different from a season ago. You bring in Robin Lopez and Madison native Wesley Matthews, and coaches will always tell you, hey, every team is different every year, and I think that holds true to a certain extent. How do you anticipate the dynamic differing this season with those guys in the fold, and obviously, as we just talked about, Brogdon moving on?
You know, I think it'll help from a size and physicality standpoint to have Robin Lopez. He is a starting quality player in the NBA, and he'll be coming off the bench. And I think when you look at the East, I mean, it's the Bucks and the Sixers that are getting the most buzz. And so you need to be able to just constantly throw big bodies at Joel Embiid. And so, you know, last season, if the Bucks had played the Sixers, regardless of who they played, they didn't have two solid physical seven-footers, you know, back-to-back in the rotation. They had Brook Lopez, and then you're giving up something in terms of size and physicality if you go down to, you know, Nikola Mirotic or Ersan Ilyasova, or, you know, even play Giannis at the five. You know, you're giving up, you know, some bulk there. So having, you know, guys who are legitimately the same, you know, they're two twins, you know, putting out these twin seven-footers, you know, you're not going to let any seven-footer get any rest for an opposing team. And so that's positive for them. I think Robin can probably shoot the three a little bit more than he's shown. I know Bud will give him the green light like he gives to everybody. I think Wes Matthews can fill it up off the bench and add to that kind of bench mob that they have going. And so that, you know, then they have three more roster spots. You know, one of them will be going to Giannis' brother, Thanasis. And then we have two more to figure out. And that's really kind of where I think the offseason kind of might pivot, because if they can get, you know, quality players on minimum contracts in those last two spots, you know, that could be a game changer.
I am smiling thinking about Robin Lopez hoisting threes in this system. I know that Splash Brothers is probably trademarked, but when you're biologically related, you would assume that, hey, maybe they can take a hold of that if Robin could get it going at some point. And Matt, now, no coach is going to admit this either, and that likely includes Mike Budenholzer, but the Bucks won 60 games last year. They proved they're one of the best teams in the East. That said, they obviously didn't win at all. We've seen teams in the past who show that they're capable or show what they're capable of in the regular season. And then in subsequent years, it feels like they take a different approach in attempting to ready themselves for the postseason rather than focusing on the regular season win total. Could you see the Bucks doing that this year in adjusting how they handle things and their personnel, most notably Giannis, who's coming off a very busy offseason?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I know Giannis has spoken about that directly at exit interviews and things like that. You know, he said that he went too hard in the regular season, where he was trying to do too much to win every single game, compete super hard every night, and that took a toll on him. His back started to hurt, and he had little physical nicks and cuts here and there. And so instead of trying to power through and just dunk on everyone and get to the rim every time, he wants to work on his mid-range game and do that during the regular season and get more comfortable and add more tricks to his bag, add more shots, add more finishes, add more counters to defensive attacks and all those different things. So he wants to be prepared for what the playoffs brings. In the playoffs, you can't just power your way to the rim every single time and just try to physically dominate. You're going to have to add some finesse, add some jump shots, things like that. And so as Giannis goes, I think that instead of, trying to beat the Magic on February 9th by just dominating and going to the rim every time, he's gonna try and, take some jump shots and try new things and test things out so that when crunch time comes in April, May, and potentially June, he'll be ready to do some different things.
Winding down with Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel, I wanted to ask you this because you're clearly around him a lot. Matt, how difficult of a season do you think this is going to be for Giannis from a media standpoint? Because we know certainly the national folks are going to be constantly questioning him about the contract situation with the looming potential for a supermax. We've seen other superstars handle it in different ways. I'm really curious to kind of figure out how he's going to deal with this and whether or not he can shut it down as much as possible and keep it out of mind and just play basketball.
I think in past situations that have been somewhat similar, obviously nothing's been similar exactly like this, but when it comes to the MVP last year, there weren't a whole bunch of stories and a whole bunch of, sound bites, to be honest, because every time I asked about it, he said the same thing. He just said, hey, I just want to win games. And if you win games, team success will breed individual success. That's all he cared about. He's like, I just care about winning. Okay, and so when it comes to awards, I think in the Supermax and all that, I think it's the same thing. He's really good at recognizing that if he is just boring and just says the same thing over and over again, hey, I love what I'm doing, I'll decide this summer, whatever, I think he can kind of shut a lot of that down. I know the questions will come. I'll be asking some of them too. But if he just consistently gives the same answer, then, it kind of diffuses the situation. I don't think it's going to be like an Anthony Davis type situation.
Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Of course, you can read his work online, jsonline.com. Up against it, Matt, always a pleasure to talk to you. Appreciate the time and look forward to doing it again down the road and hopefully another trek to the finals and beyond for the Bucks.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, Matt, I appreciate it. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.